your patience, sir. How can I help you?
No, just checking up. Didn't know what kind of religion you had.
We're born again Christians, following Jesus Christ by his word. Not part of any man-made organization that rules America.
Well, you know, I mean, I get that on the website.
I can't hear you.
I said I get that on the website. I think you guys are on the right track.
Does God's word say I'm on the right track? Doesn't matter where you or I think, right?
Yeah, but I guess what I'm trying to say is with how many, like, I mean, I've witnessed 20, 30 years now. I've never had to do it. I mean, do you guys get people actually convert like this?
What's the goal when you go and witness the gospel? Is it to get people to convert, or is it to preach the biblical gospel and glorify God? How many did Jesus say would come in the last days according to the scriptures?
False preachers? False teachers?
How many did he say would come and find eternal life?
Very few.
There you go. So we get very few.
Right,
so there you go.
But I'm not here to...
If you want to fill up a building, sir, maybe you're part of a building system. If you are, if I wanted to fill up a building, I could have a building full of 1,000 people and have cookie programs and kids programs.
That's stupid. It's man's work.
But so the Jesus said, go into the world and preach the gospel. Do you know what the word preach means in the Greek?
You
ever study the Greek and the Hebrew, I'd encourage you. It means a public crier. It's not a guy behind a wooden box in a building. Yeah, a public crier. Jesus was a street preacher. Paul was a street preacher. So they went out to the world, to the marketplaces. And we go and witness one-on-one. We'll go to farmers markets and walk around. We'll go work in McDonald's. We witness one-on-one. Then there's other times where we hold signs and we lift up. But see, what you got to remember something. We're not here for the masses. Who did Jesus say the shepherd leaves for? We're looking for one. Out of 1,000 people that walk by here, if one seed was planted in a young person and went, that street preacher said we got to follow God in holiness, not like the world. That's what the Bible says, Dad. And if he grows up remembering that and he comes to faith, my job is done. And so holiness and obedience. So if you're part of the culture and how you look, act, talk, trying to fit in with the culture, you're not fitting in with God, you're fitting in with the culture. When your heart's transformed for Christ via the gospel, it's on the card. Everything changes. How you talk, how you dress, how you act, how you spend your money, who you associate with, how you spend your time. No godly man would ever spend his time watching this carnality. Why not? Because it's feeding the flesh, not the spirit.
Why did they call Jesus a winebibber?
Who called Jesus a winebibber?
That's what they called
him. Who called Jesus a winebibber?
All the people that were talking about.
His enemies did. Do you think he was a drunk?
I think he went into a place and communicated with people.
He didn't go in and enjoy it. He did what I do. He talked to people and preached the gospel. He didn't go and entertain himself, sir. His enemies called him a winebibber. Are you going to call him a glutton, too? They called him a glutton, too.
I do whatever the Bible says it is. I don't judge. I don't
Those care. Were his enemies, sir. Those were his enemies that called him that. Go read that. I have an article on that. You can't call Jesus what his enemies called him and say, see, Jesus sat with the sinners, but he didn't sin with them. He didn't do this. He sat with them and taught them along the road. I preach along the road. I won't go and entertain that. The Bible says, come out and be ye holy. Do you know what holy means? Have they taught you? Or whoever, are you united with anybody?
Yeah.
Have you studied? No. Do you know what the word holy means?
Yeah, set aside.
Very good. Set apart. You're not set apart from the culture when you partake of it. And James 4:4, it's under my sign. Friendship with the world makes you God's enemy. This is the world. Politics, sports, entertainment, movies, video games, idolatrous hunting and fishing. If you hunt and fish to fill your freezer with for your family, love it. If you go out looking for big bucks and trophy fish, you're an idolater because God has called us to something so much greater. We preach at car shows. If you have a vehicle that gets you to work and takes your family for groceries, great. If you got a $100,000 car that you clean with a feather duster and you wax it and spend hours on it every week, you're an idolater. See the difference?
Yeah.
That's what the Word of God says. So this doesn't matter if it works or not. I'm glorifying God. And people do. Few email us and thank us. Few thank us in the street. Few say, you know what? I'm glad you're doing this because the culture needs it. Few. That's exactly how many Jesus said. He said in Luke 18:8, will there be any faith left when he returns? Do you understand how dark it's going to get in the last days? We're there. The churches, Sunday churches, are all full of liars. Oh, good. Good. So what I encourage you is you can go to my website, look up, there's a 10-point test. It'll teach you why. Start with the gospel. It's on that card. By the shed blood of Christ, you come to faith. Then you repent, which means when you repent, I used to be a drunk and a worldly man and a fighter. You turn from all those ways. I used to sit in this. You turn from all that. When God sees a willing vessel, you'll be born again. Hold on. You'll be born again. What's your name, by the way?
James.
I'm James. Nice to meet you. This is my wife, Debbie. When you're born again by the Spirit of God, beautiful thing happens. He changes your desires, and you all of a sudden go, oh my, I used to love this. Now I want holiness, righteous, truth, purity, goodness. And so holiness and obedience is the fruit.
Thank you, ma'am.
Let us know how we can help you. We love you. The fruit that you're born of God is holiness and obedience, not church attendance, not just believing in Jesus, not just walking through being like the world and maybe witnessing to a few people. No, if you don't stand out. See, the world is quicksand. Well, let me finish the gospel. Holiness and obedience, it's all on the card. Then you have to endure. You're not saved today. I'm not saved today. I have the hope of it if I die today. If you pulled a gun out and killed me, I believe I have the hope of eternal life because I'm not living in any willful sin. But you know what? Tomorrow, I got to go and do the same thing. And next week, I got to do the same thing. And next month, and I'm married, and if I fall away from my marriage with another woman, I'm a failure. If I fall away from God next week into sin, I'm a failure. Sin that I don't repent of. So that's the gospel to eternal life, and it calls you out of all of this. I'm glad you're out of the church system. That's a good step. Now you got to come out of the culture.
You got to get out of law. You're preaching the law.
I'm preaching the law. What law did you hear me preach?
Everything you say has been
really. Does the New Testament call us to holiness and obedience?
Listen, like I said, I'm not here to argue. I don't give a crap.
Wait, you just said you got to back up a statement.
I know.
What did I teach about the law?
Okay, when you stand before someone, what happens? What do you guys always notice? You always notice the walls come up, right? The defense.
That's because of sin.
That's the law preacher.
No. No. No, that's not, sir. What that is they love the world and they're filling up the stadium with carnality. This is holiness and righteousness. The world is void of that. The world is void of the fear of God. It's not the law. The Bible says that unless you obey God, you won't make it in the kingdom of God. But not Torah law, the New Testament law. New Testament law. You got to obey God. Do you have to obey the laws of the country?
You have to obey the laws, but what you have to understand is that...
I'm listening. You're telling me that I don't have to preach obedience to God.
Law is designed to be able to be preached to someone who's a sinner.
And it's these are all sinners.
That's the Ten Commandments. That's the law.
No, there's more law than just Ten Commandments. There's 1,000.
But you can't finish any of those laws, right?
There's 1,050 in the New Testament.
But that's the point. The point is, it doesn't matter what you. Every time you point out that,
right.
Why you guys always? I'm trying to help. I'm trying to say this.
You're not helping because you got to point out. Let me tell you something. Let me ask you a question. Are you a healthy guy?
Yes.
What if you went to a doctor for a checkup, and he comes out and he gives you your blood pressure, your heart thing, goes in his little office, right? And he comes running out with a big scalpel and he goes, James, we got to cut you open right now and we got to operate right now. We got to operate. And you'd go, whoa. Why? I feel great. Come here. Before you can receive the good news, you got to know the bad news. Look at James. Look at the x-ray. You got a giant tumor. It's ready to explode. You're going to die if it explodes. We got to operate right away. And you go, okay. He goes, that's the bad news. Here's the good news. I've done this 500 times. I can save you. Let's go. You see how you now appreciate the good news because you knew the bad news? That's what the law does. The Bible says the law came to show us our need. These people should see their need that they're sinful, wicked, worldly people, that they run to this holy Savior.
When you say that, what are you doing?
Causing the Holy Spirit to bring the gospel is an offense, sir. The Bible tells us that.
But the way you present it.
Paul says, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth in Galatians 4:16? Why do you think Jesus was killed? Paul, Peter, John. Well, John died in prison, but they tried to boil him alive in oil. Why do you think they all died? Were they offensive? Was the truth offensive? Or do you think the culture loved it? Very offensive, James. It's very offensive. You have to offend before you can heal. And just preaching Christ is offensive. Telling people they have to repent and come out. I'm going to tell you because I love you. You got to repent of being like the culture.
I was saved since I was 12.
Huh?
I was saved when I was 12.
You don't get saved once, sir. You don't get saved
it's
once.
Everyday work. Yeah. Everyday work.
Well, that's good, but if you're
how do you do that?
But wait a minute. If your works aren't lining up with God, He calls you out of the world to follow Him and obey Him. Jesus said, "If you love Me, the great command, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." I ask these people in line: are you loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength today?
Nobody can.
They should. That's a lie. That's an absolute lie.
First commandment.
What do you mean nobody can? The Bible is full of men that were what? Righteous. All over the Bible, Old and New Testament.
So in your mentality, if I got my...
Not my mentality, my biblical theology.
I know, but that's the problem is when people want it, because what you're doing is you're making a scorecard. You're trying to tell me as long as I...
Jesus said, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. Does that sound like a scorecard to you?
How are you going to go to heaven? What's going to get you to heaven?
Does that sound like a scorecard to you?
Yes,
Matthew 28:20. Jesus said it. Jesus had a scorecard. Jesus said, be ye perfect.
Who is the scorecard?
Be ye perfect, he said.
Okay, what's the question when we stand before God that's going to be asked? There's only one question. That's the only thing.
What Bible verse says that?
I'm just giving you the...
What Bible verse? I go by scripture. You're going by James theology. I want scripture. What Bible verse says there's going to be one question? I know what it is. Matthew 7.
What?
Jesus said, I never knew you.
What are you going to do with my son?
Away from you. Away from you, me. I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. That's sin. Go read Matthew 7. He sends them away. And they say, I went to church. I did signs and wonders. I did miracles. He goes, I never knew you. Because they don't know God in their heart. They know Him by their lips in the churchianity system. And they live worldly and carnal, and they'll never know Him. So the Bible doesn't say God will say one thing to you. But Jesus says, He's going to say, away from me, I never knew you. America does not know the true Savior. America knows a false Jesus, a false gospel, and a false spirit. 2 Corinthians 11:4, Paul warns of that. False Jesus, false spirit. And so the gospel is offensive. You didn't hear me say anything mean-spirited. All I'm saying is biblical truth. And they hated Paul and Jesus and the disciples because they told the truth. Your kind of theology wants to sugarcoat it down to make people feel good when the Bible tells us that the Word of God is a Hebrews 4:12 sword, double-edged sword. Does a double-edged sword kind of just scratch your back, or does it slice your right open? It actually says it cuts through the marrow and it cuts to the bone. So in order for you to be changed, James, you got to be cut to the bone. You got to hear the truth, and I'm telling you the truth today. If you're like the world, you're not going to heaven. That's fruit that you don't have a saving faith. You just have a false Jesus. So I love you enough to tell you that. Got tons of articles at don'tperish.com. You got my email. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to Bible study with you. I'd love to encourage you. I'm going to go back to preaching.
Right,
I love you.
Good luck.
I love you, man.